Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, everyone, back. We're very pleased to be joined by Lenny Smith of Danville. It's Danville Shikellamy tonight. Lenny, thanks for being with us.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
It's great to be with you. Let's start with your basketball team. There are moments in time where you look out there and you say to yourself as a coach, you know what, the light's going on. About what point did you look at your basketball team and felt like they were grasping the concepts and putting them into practical application with instinct instead of doing it by the numbers?
Probably after our first game with Pottsville when they got a one-point win over Pottsville. So it was kind of early in the season. I mean, they just got back from football, and they did a real gutsy performance against a real good team. So I knew we had something going there, and that if we could keep it moving and get them going in the right direction, that we could have a pretty successful season.
As the time goes along and you become successful and you end up being the number one seed, you're going to be the biggest game in everybody's building that night. How do you feel your players handle that during the course of the year? Because now as a one seed, they'll have to really handle it.
Well, that's what we tell them all year long, that they have a target on their back and everybody's shooting for them, and that we have to be prepared every game. So hopefully going through a season like that helps us for the playoffs. And, you know, we got Shikellamy that wants to beat us really bad tonight. We're gonna have to play our best game of the season probably to come out on top.
When you look at Shikellamy, Lenny, what does impress you about them?
Oh, they have scoring for all over the court, and if they get a hot shooting night, they could really light you up, and they could be a handful. I mean, we're going to have to make sure that we don't let them get comfortable at the three-point circle, because when they start firing those bombs up, they could beat anybody.
Nothing hurts the flow of a game when you have bunched spacing and the court becomes small. What kind of spacing has your team had, and what has it meant to you when you've opened the floor up?
Yeah, that's when we play our best, when we're spread out and everybody's contributing on the offensive end. I think last week or 10 days ago or whenever we played Lewisburg was the one time all year where we didn't have good balanced scoring. We sort of relied too much on Brett Berg, who really played a big game for us. But we're at our best when everybody's contributing, and when everybody's a threat to score out on the court, it really puts pressure on the other team's defense, and it helps us all around. So that's what we're going to try to do tonight, and try to make the extra pass and try to find the open man.
Defense always wins at this time of the year. You put yourself in a position if you're playing well defensively. How well have you played defensively down the stretch?
Well, not too good the last game when we gave up 93 points or something to Williamsport. But other than that, we hustle, man. We put five good athletes on the court, and we never lose because of lack of hustle. I mean, that's one good thing about this team. If they're going to go down, it's going to be because of something else. But they'll put it all out on the court there, and they'll give it up on the defensive end. And that's the sign of a nice that's a good sign for a good team.
Another sign of a good team is that, look, possessions are important. You may get 40 to 50 possessions in a game, maybe 55 possessions. Valuing the possessions is important. So has your team had the ability, whether it's the first quarter or the fourth, to value possessions?
Oh, absolutely. We say, you know, play every possession like it's your last possession, and make every possession count on the offensive end and on the defensive end. And the team who wins the most possessions will end up usually winning the game. So especially in playoffs and when each possession becomes more and more important, we've got to be able to take care of the ball and make sure we take shots and we don't cheat ourselves. We take shots that we're capable of making. And that's what we're going to try to do tonight. Take shots that we're comfortable with and don't cheat ourselves and don't cheat our team out of possessions.
We're with Lenny Smith, head coach at Danville, and they're getting ready for Shikellamy tonight. Lenny, there are certain teams, a coach may privately admit that you like one team better than another because it's just a function of the kids you're around or the kind of season and adversity you had. How much do you like this team?
Oh, they're great kids, man. They come from good families, good parents, and they're just a good hardworking bunch of kids. We actually have four seniors starting, only one starter from last year, so it's a lot of fresh kids beginning of the season. But they've been around for a while, so they stepped in and they know the system, and it's a pretty hard system to pick up. So it's usually senior dominated on Danville. You sort of have to put in your time and learn what's going on, and these kids did it. And they've been around us since second grade, so they're like family. We'll miss all these seniors. Go ahead.
And because of that, do you feel like you have that on-the-floor leadership because there is some ownership from these kids that have been in this so long?
Absolutely, and they see what the teams before them have done, and they want to continue doing it. It's sort of winning breeds winning, and they want to show that their senior class could do the same thing that the previous senior classes did. So it's sort of a good thing, and it's something that really helps our program.
What is it about your job that you enjoy the most?
Are you there? Hello?
Yes. What is it about you? What is it about your job that you enjoy the most?
It's just the kids and the games. We try to, we try to put these kids in situations where they're going to get the most out of high school sports and high school basketball. We try to get them in big games. Try to get them in front of big crowds, and this is the time of year where they'll get memories forever. And just being around the kids. And I have a great coaching staff. Bob Dressler's been with me forever, and Dwayne Heater's been with us for the last 5 or 6 years. When you have guys around you that are all on the same page, and administration that backs you, you could hang around for a while. If you don't, and good parents, if you don't have that, you're going to burn out in a heartbeat.
There's no question about that. There's also something that's very important in coaching is putting your players in a position where they can have success. And, of course, Joe Paterno often said many, many times, I'd rather play a guy a game too late than a game too early. Have you, because of your system, because it's so senior-oriented, been able to do that, give your kids the best opportunity to succeed because they are older now?
Yeah, I think what we try to do is we try to challenge them along the way. I mean, we don't go out and try to schedule undefeated seasons. We go out there and try to find some competition that's going to show them what they can do and what they need to do and where they have to get to be successful. So it's a pretty nice process. It's a pretty nice trip along the way. And right now is the rewards of that hard work, and the rewards of the season are big games like this. So I hope, both teams, Shikellamy, I mean, they have a great coaching staff over there. They've come a long ways. And it's both teams going out, and it's unfortunate in AAA you only have two teams that move on. So someone tonight's going to go home, and that's unfortunate. But this is the rewards of the season, and hopeful both teams go out and have a good time and play well and make some memories.
What does the proximity, Danville to Shikellamy, what does that mean to the rivalry, considering obviously the two of you have quality basketball programs?
Well, we just meet all the time. I mean, this will be the third time we're meeting. The kids know each other. They know our system as well as we do, and we know what they run. So it's just a friendly rivalry. Coach Ford is a great guy. I get along with the whole coaching staff over there. They're good people. They put in a lot of time in the summer. So it's but just two schools doing the same thing and trying to move on. So like I said, it's unfortunate someone's going to have to go home tonight, but that's the cruel reality of life, I guess.
Lenny, it's an absolute pleasure for us to have you on the show. Thank you very much for carving out a few minutes for us today to talk about tonight's game. We appreciate it very much.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Lenny Smith, head coach at Danville, and now the Kevin Herr analysis.
Well, he talked about it. I think it's very...
And time to take a break.
I think one of the things that really impresses me about Danville is the fact that there's this misconception that you have to have a big guy to be dominant inside, and I think Danville does a really good job pounding the boards inside without having that 6'5", 6'7", kind of guy. The other thing that makes them very dangerous is what they do defensively to set up their offense. I mean, I think that's and the fact that they have some guys at the forward spot that can step out and hit a three-pointer when they need one, too. So, again, two teams with, as Coach Smith just said, a lot of great weapons on both sides of the ball tonight. I'm looking forward to this game. It's probably one of the games I look forward to all year is the Danville-Shikellamy matchups.
Third time they've met this year. So, interesting. 7 o'clock tonight?
7:06 will be our airtime.
7:06 the airtime.
We like to be unique. I mean, anybody can go on at 7, 7:15, 7:30. 7:06, that's a time you remember. That gives the chief a chance to get upstairs, too, after the girls game, because it is a Danville boys-girls doubleheader. So the girls will be playing at 6 o'clock, and the boys follow it at about 7:30. So that gives him time to get upstairs.
You work hard all year to get to this particular point. And it's nights like these are the ones that you know, that are fun, you wait for. And that's why they're more special, because you get to this time of the year and somebody is going to advance tonight. As Lenny said, the cruel part of it is one's out. Only two are going to make it. One's out tonight.
You know, and I was looking back, getting ready for this game, at all the Danville-Shikellamy matchups, and the one thing that stood out is in the last 5 or 6 years, they have met in the semifinals. This will be the third time in the quarter semifinals, and they met last year in the finals. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and Shikellamy has seen their season end with Danville and seen twice before. And then, of course, you know, last year getting into the finals automatically gave you at least the number two seed going in out of District 4 to the playoffs. That's where this game is big. Not only gets you a chance to play for the District 4 championship, but it also guarantees you another game.
Yeah, you're in. Yeah. By winning, you're in.
One will get you two, as I like to put it.
Right, exactly. And that's where they are. And that's the problem with being the four seed in this.
No, absolutely.
But, hey.
Well,
get a shot.
And I think Tim Four and the Braves are looking at it like, you know, we may be the four seed, but we're not, you know, we're not a four seed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're a better team than maybe the seeding has placed us just because of where everything fell in District 4 this year. I'll tell you what, there were five solid teams.
Do you know how I look at seeding?
No. Okay.
Seriously, you know how I look at seeding, of course, you know, there's an honor to it as to who's a one and two. Okay, I understand. It just tells me who I'm going to play.
Well, that's...
Seeding means to me. That's what seeding means to me. When I do the Big Ten tournament, when I have done the NCAA tournament, all that has told me, okay, is that who am I going to play, and if they win, who might they play next? That's what seeding means to me. Seeding does not mean to me... when Penn State's been in the NCAAs, they've been one time they were 13, one time they were 10, one time they were 7, one time they were 5. All it tells me is who you're matching up with. You know, and what color jersey do you get to wear? See, that's about what it comes down to. And that's how I look at seeding. I think once you start, when you're in a one and done situation, when you're in a one-and-done situation, as Lehigh proved in the NCAAs, taking it a level higher now, they throw the ball in the air, you score more points, you move on. Okay, it doesn't matter what the seeding is on the team you're facing. It's irrelevant. It's how you match up. Matchups mean everything. Penn State played Temple 2 years ago in the NCAAs out in Tucson. It's a 7 versus a 10. The matchups were great until Jeff Brooks got hurt. And even when Jeff Brooks got hurt, it went down to the last shot of the game. Okay? That's what it comes to me. Seeding just means that, okay, Penn State's going to play Providence in the first round. Oh, if they win, they'll play either North Carolina or Princeton. That's how I look at it. I just know where you're going next.
Well, I'll tell you what I like the most about this game is what you said, the matchups, but the matchups on the floor. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see who Shikellamy has defending Brett Berg, who's averaged double figures against the Braves the last two times. It'll be interesting to see who Danville puts up against Ernie Tyler, who last time out really shot very, very well against the Ironman. So it'll be interesting to see the matchups tonight and if they're the same as they were the last two games or if they change yet again to try and find the right mix. That's what's interesting when you have a third time out with a team is seeing who matches up with whom on the floor.
There are going to be no secrets. Okay.
Probably not.
Face a team three times, there are no secrets.
Well, and both these teams scout each other very well.
Penn State played Indiana 2 years ago in the Big Ten opening round. Third time through. No secrets. Moved on. Third time they played Wisconsin. No secrets. Moved on. Third time they played Michigan State. They split with them in the regular season. Okay. Third time. Moved on. Third time they played Ohio State. Third straight time Ohio State beat them. Okay. There are no secrets. I mean, I didn't see Ohio State run a single play that was different than when they ran at the Jordan Center or when they ran at the shot. Yep. Hey, you just know at this point, it's just whomever executes and plays.
And that's what makes, I think, the District 4 tournament rather interesting in AAA because you have one team in Athens, which is the 2 seed, that really may have only played one or two teams in the entire tournament. In the 5 teams, I think they only played maybe one or two. So they're the big question mark at the 2 seed. And Milton has Milton has that challenge. So there's not a whole lot of familiarity there. But you look everywhere else with Mifflinburg, Danville, Shikellamy, they're all very familiar with each other.
You have to remember there's also no familiarity for Athens with Milton.
Well, and that it goes both ways. You're absolutely right.
You can't just look at from the one perspective. You have to remember they don't know you either.
Well, but with all due respect to the Northern Tier, it's a lot easier to find out about teams in this area than it is to find out about teams in that area. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
Why? Is it all wagon train up there?
No, it's just the information isn't as easy to find as it is through this part of the District 4.
What there is on the tape?
Yeah, but it's a long way to go to get a tape some days.
I'm talking about, like, for the coaches. I don't mean you.
Oh, okay.
I mean, who really cares about what you need?
No, I guarantee you the four teams that are in this tournament have at least seen each other once some form or another.
Look, if you don't happen to see a team on tape as an announcer, you just react to what you see on the floor and just move on.
No, I was talking about it from a coaching standpoint. I mean, there's not the familiarity is with Milton. We're playing with the other teams tonight.
It's a big thing that Bill O'Brien and his staff and Patrick Chambers and his staff went through last year. When it is the first time, and I pointed this out, okay, when it's the first time going through the league, okay, you have to learn all the personnel. Okay? They played 12 games this year, except for Ron Vanderlyn and Larry Johnson. None of them had ever seen these guys before. Okay? Same thing with Patrick Chambers and his staff last year going through the Big Ten. And I said that was going to be the biggest problem. I was on several Nebraska talk shows when they joined the Big Ten. And I said the biggest thing that your coaches are going to find out is that the lack of familiarity with the personnel and the learning curve of trying to learn 8 new opponents is going to be something that they'll find to be a daunting task. I talked to Greg Sharp. We went to lunch last year in Lincoln. And he said to me, he says, you know that thing you said about the learning curve with 8 new teams? He says, the coaches pulled us all aside after the season and said, you have no idea how hard this was to learn. Because why did I say that? Because the Penn State coaches in 1993 told me that. Okay? They went through it. And they told me, look, this is to learn 8, because they were used to playing West Virginia, Syracuse, Boston College, okay? So they're used to playing those teams. So they know, okay, that tight end it's by seeing them face to face, that tight end is that kind of speed. That tackle is that kind of technique. He's been there for a couple of years now. This is how we got to play him. Oh, boy, we got to watch out for how he lines up on the edge. When he does this, he kind of tips off. What he wants to do as a line. He tips the blitz when he does this.
Okay. Because you see them every year. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you're racking up 8 tapes of new opponents you've never seen before. Okay? It doesn't matter that it's you went from playing Eastern schools to playing Big Ten schools, because Eastern football was better than Big Ten football in the 80s. It just was. You know, in the 90s, it started to really switch, where suddenly the Big Ten got really good in the 90s, and then the Eastern football fell off. But in the 80s, Eastern football was better than Big Ten football. They had a better depth of teams. But still, you've got to learn all new personnel, learn all the linebackers, learn their coverage schemes, learn what this coach thinks when they're going to do this, that, and the other thing in this situation. I mean, when you don't know, I mean, the learning curve is steep. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the Central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Milton and Athens, by the way, in high school basketball, postponed until tomorrow night because of the weather.
That'll be at the Magic Dome in Williamsport.
Magical.
It hasn't been every time I've been up there.
You ever think there's a common denominator?
I'm thinking maybe.
Our number, 1-800-795-9565, and the Hilscher's General Store hotline. Hilscher's General Store is located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Check out the deli, the bakery, restaurant, and, of course, the great clothing items and more. Hilscher's General Store, one-stop shopping, and justifiably so.
The other day they had this potato casserole that was really, really good. I just had to share that. I was going to save you some, and then I just decided to eat it myself anyway.
You know what Big Bird says.
Their scalloped potatoes are pretty good, too. Scalloped. Sorry, not scalped.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what my mother used to call them. So she would make scalloped potatoes. We're like, exactly what did you do to those potatoes?
And,
now you're off your train of thought.
Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It is Danville Shikellamy tonight, 7:06 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Kevin is excited. He's already counting down.
I am. We're less than 3 now.
By the way, girls before that, by the way, Danville and Shikellamy. Chief will have a few minutes between games to get to the broadcast location and join you. Tomorrow I've got Michigan, and tomorrow we'll have on the show Joe Lenardi. Not much of a need for me to get into what the Michigan game with Joe Lenardi tomorrow, because I think one of the key games is tonight, Indiana-Minnesota. Minnesota, based on BPI and RPI, is solidly in the tournament. But for the past month, I mean, they have been doing everything they can to tread water and keep their heads above water. Minnesota will play at home tonight at Williams Arena.
Indiana, I was not really a believer or a buyer on Indiana. First, until they went to Michigan State. When they went to Michigan State and in a tough environment, in a tough basketball game, in a game where possessions and moments mattered, they repelled everything Michigan State did, which is a great home team, and they're the ones that seized the moments and the opportunities and won the game. That's when it really swung my way on looking at Indiana saying, you know what? This is as complete a basketball team as I've seen this year. Now, Indiana has another chance to prove that again tonight when they play at Minnesota. Tough environment. Barnes a tough place to play. Minnesota's a far better home team than road team. I don't care who's been coaching them. I don't care if it's been Clem Haskins or Dan Munson or Jim Molinari, okay, or now Tubby. They have been a team that traditionally has struggled on the road and traditionally played great at home. So tonight they're at home, and they play Indiana tonight. But I think Indiana's just better, and I think right now they're better than the field. A big man that can play, that's athletic and can run, and a player in Victor Oladipo who has dramatically improved himself at both ends of the floor. He is a much better outside shooter than he was, and he's a really good defender now. He is going to get a lot of consideration from people for Big Ten Player of the Year. Even though Trey Burke is a guy that has had a great year and a steady year. And by the way, Indiana still has to play at Michigan to close out the season on the final Sunday of the year. So that is coming up tonight as well. Phil, because Kevin has been breathing into a bag, hyperventilating a bit. You've been breathing into a bag because you've been hyperventilating about the game tonight.
No. I don't do that until at least 6:30. I don't hyperventilate about the game until 6:30. Then at 7 o'clock, I get myself in the zone, and then I'm ready.
Why do you hyperventilate at all?
I absolutely love games like this. I get almost as excited as a player does. You, who has stopped liking sports about 20 years ago, are like, oh, is it time to go on the air yet? Got to get my headphones on. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Penn State Sports Network.
I love sports. I love doing my job.
Tarman has to tap you on the shoulder when it's time to go on the air.
Yeah, but just because I'm calm about things doesn't mean... Just because I'm calm about going about my business, you want to be, just the way it is. It drives you nuts. I mean, you're up in the booth, it drove you crazy.
No, I'll be upstairs now tonight. I'll be having all my papers scanned. I'll have all my notes out on my tablet ready to go. And I'll be just watching the clock. You, on the other hand, talking to seven people. Tarman has to strap you into the chair before it's time to get the broadcast started, so you're there. Don't you get excited anymore about anything?
People tell me how excited I sound on the broadcast all the time.
I don't have that problem.
Well, no, I get excited. I get excited on the broadcast, big play, the whole thing.
I don't have that problem.
But I'm not going to sit there and worry myself into a tizzy before the game. I mean, Roger gets a little antsy. Sit down. I'm like, I'm fine. I got it. I'm not going to say which guy. I had one of the NFL guys guest lecture in my class. And this guy used to play. And somebody said, how do you get before a broadcast? He goes, when I played, he says, I get like really sick to my stomach. So that nervous kind of sickness, he says, I find the same thing when I'm broadcasting. He says, Steve knows what I'm talking about.
No, he doesn't.
Right? And well, no, I looked at the class and I just said, oh, yeah, absolutely. I nodded, sure. Because I didn't want to.
Right.
The guy's guest lecturing in the class.
We know better.
It's a class. But I don't know why I don't get nervous before I speak. I have no idea why I don't get nervous before I do a broadcast. I mean, I've spoke before. I've been up in front of 25,000 people at a pep rally. I've been up in front of 1,000 people when I've and so I don't, for whatever reason, I don't. It's like, yeah, okay, fine. It's like driving the car.
Well, see, I go to these games.
I can't explain that, so I don't know how to explain it.
See, well, here, and I can, because it's really easy. I mean, I walk in kind of with a fan type of mentality, even though I'm calling the game. I'm excited to be at this game. The fact that I get to do something and watch a game. Listen, this year for junior high was the first time I paid in to get into a game in years. It was a weird feeling, but you know, it was just you get being able to do a game like that and do a big game. That's exciting. It's almost like being a fan and walking into the game. You're that excited about it. That's the best way I can describe it.
I understand that, but I don't know.
Now Dave Ritchie's a little bit different because he has a different mentality because he's
just
a coach.
The game.
Right.
Yeah, he just coached the game, though. He actually has a very hard job to do. He has to mentally come
down
from coaching.
That's exactly my point. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was rough. I mean, they had a big win last week against Selins Grove. They had lost to Selins Grove both times before. They had a big win. Then he had to go kind of hit the reset button, catch his breath a little bit, and then come out and get ready to do the game.
Yeah,
that was not easy.
That's not easy at all. That's very hard to do. But see, I'm also around, like, Dick Girardi.
Okay? The king of laid back.
Well, that's what I mean. Jack.
I keep waiting for Jack. Dick Girardi to prop his feet up on the desk and just kick back and take a nap right before the game starts.
Well, see, the way I look at it is this, okay? It's like two friends watching a game talking about a game together.
Now, it sounds that way, too.
I mean, between football, basketball, and I've always told the analysts, I said, look, I don't care. Talk all you want. I really don't, you know. I don't get all wrapped up in... I must have the playback, but I thought, with that stuff. People want to hear what Jack has to say. People want to hear what Dick has to say. You know, what they say is really, really important. They're really, really good. So it's like, you know, eventually I'll get it back. And when I do, I, you know, do my part.
You know, something I wanted to ask you, and it changes the subject just a little bit, but I know we're running about, you know, on the end of the show, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the combine. There's a lot of talk about the combine and numbers and everybody's 40 time. To me, and tell me if I'm wrong with this, to me, in my opinion, the combine has been a creation of NFL Network, and the interest in it was created by the NFL Network more than it was by the average fan.
No. Combine's been in existence for a long time.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the interest in it. And
the interest in it is without a doubt a creation of more television and so forth. Yeah, that's the interest in it. Yeah.
I mean, as a fan, I never even knew when the combine happened until the NFL Network.
No, we always knew here.
Well, of course, but you're in the loop.
Yeah, but we knew but we talk about it openly on the air which players were invited and when it was and so forth. So we always knew. I remember one year flying out. I don't know. I want to say it was like 1992 or something like that. Flying out to do. I'd done Lady Line basketball on TV the night before, so I didn't fly with the men's team. So I flew out to Chicago to do Penn State Northwestern, and Richie Anderson sat next to me. Ironically, his son's here now. And Richie Anderson had decided to forego his last season at Penn State. He had a redshirt senior season coming up. And to be honest with you, Joe was not happy about the fact that he was going early. And I flew out with him because he was going to the combine the next day. And that's 21 years ago, Kev. I guess it must have been 93, his first season in. So it was like 1993. It was after the 92 season. And Richie Anderson ended up bad. He made the Pro Bowl one year. Played 10 years in the league. Played fullback. Mostly with the Jets. I remember flying out to the combine, flying out to Chicago, and then he was changing to go to Indianapolis from there. That's how far back. It's 20 years ago.
When did the pro days start? Because that's another thing I never really heard about until recently.
The pro day's been here for a while. Pro day here is going to be March 11th. So that's 13 days away.
Now, will all the seniors participate in that, or is there only a select few?
Help. Every single one of them that wants to participate will participate. There will also be a couple of guys, for example, from even like last year's team that will come back, or a couple of years ago, like an Andrew Pitts who was trying to be a long snapper in the NFL. He will show up at the combine. Chima Okoli, I saw him working out in the weight room a couple of weeks ago. He is going to, you know, he was on the team the year before. He's going to be at the combine. So it's not just the seniors.
No, wait, they're going to be at the pro day, right?
Pro day.
Well,
we call it the pro day, combine. What's the difference? The
I'm same. Easily confused, it's so
all
I want to make sure.
It's all the same. You do all the same things you do at the combine. You do a pro day. It's the same thing. You run the 40-yard dash. You jump up and hit the little ribbon. Hey, you do the shuttle runs, and you do the agility drills, and you do the DB, backpedal and get the ball drill, and quarterbacks throw for them. But
there were so many quarterbacks that were, and over the last couple of years, that debated to go to the combine and then didn't and had their pro day only, or this year debated to do both or one or the other. Wouldn't you want to do both? I mean, if you have a bad day in one or the other, at least you could say that, okay, it was a bad day. But if you only show up for one and you just don't have a good day, I mean, that could be bad.
If it's me, I show up at the combine in Indianapolis. I do all the interviews and I do all of the drills, but I don't throw. If I am, and then when they come back, if I am satisfied with what I did combine wise, jumping, running, shuttles, things like that, if I'm satisfied, I've maxed out and done as well as I can, I don't do that part, but I do throw.
I don't know. I think I'd want to do both. That way, if I had a bad day, I could attribute it to that and be legitimate. If you have a bad day and you're only doing one or the other, guess what? That's the last memory they have, or the only one.
Yeah, but, you go out there, you're throwing to your own guys.
Well, there's a comfort level there, sure.
Yeah, your own field, your own guys, your own whatever. That's what I'd do.
I don't know. I just can't sit on and watch the combine like a football game. I just can't sit and watch that.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. They had it on the background today at Channel 3. I mean, Tyrone Mathieu was out there. I guess what, he got in the bench press at 225, cranked out four, put it down. I don't lift weights, man. He put it down after four, bang, bang. He ran like a 4.38 40 and so forth. I mean, he is the single biggest. The world will say Manti Te'o is the biggest mystery guy in the draft, and that's not true. Tyrone Mathieu is the biggest mystery guy in the draft. If he had come out a year ago, he would have been probably one of the top five and at worst top 10 guys taken. You're talking about a guy that's 5'8 3/4". He runs a 4.38 40. You watch him on tape, and his knack for being around the football is uncanny, and the guy is also a fabulous punt returner. Now, after sitting out a year and a litany of trouble, what do you do with him? Who rolls the dice early on this guy and says they'll pick him? Manti Te'o, in all likelihood, is going to be anywhere from 20 to 35, he'll be picked.
I don't think he'll be a first rounder.
No, I think there'll be somebody that will. I mean, if you're going to ask me to compare him to a guy in the NFL now, my comparison to a guy that's in the league now, they got a big blow up in college, Ray Malaluga.
But I'm not saying that because of what has happened over the last month off the field. I'm just saying I just don't think he's a first round pick, period. Even without all the attention.
I'm saying he reminds me of Ray Malaluga. Malaluga, when Penn State played them in the Rose Bowl, we were like, Malaluga and Trevor Mays were the two guys. Mays, Malaluga. At the end of the first quarter, I looked over at Jack. I said, Matthews is the best player in this field. I said, and Cushing's right behind him. I said, how come nobody ever talks about them? Now, who do they talk about in the NFL? Matthews, Cushing, and nobody talks about Ray Mataluga. That's what Manti Te'o reminds me of. Now, he might be better. We'll find out. But Manti Te'o is not the biggest mystery in this draft. Tyrann Mathieu is the biggest mystery in the draft. A year ago, it looked like he had the, quote, honey badger, had everything going for him. And right now, the honey badger is on the balance beam of football life. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, we've dealt with everything today, from the NFL Combine to officiating in college basketball to high school basketball. Tonight, 7:06, Shikellamy will take on Danville. Shikellamy, the number 4 seed. Danville is the number 1 seed. Kevin is already in game mode. 2 hours and 9 minutes till tip-off.
Thanks for the countdown.
No problem. I already did the pregame show for you. You're all set.
No, not the whole pregame. I did part of it, maybe.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Maybe I'm not going to use all 10 minutes.
Hey, make your own mistakes.
Well, I've done that before. That would be nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Bill Kenny, who used to be on the staff here for football, has been named the offensive line coach at Western Michigan.
What's the Western Michigan nickname?
Broncos.
Yeah, we used to play a game, Name the Nickname. I would not want to play that game with you.
One time we played Trivial Pursuit. You read the cards. I'm like, going, what?
Okay. What was the category?
That's the last time. It didn't matter. It's the last time I played.
It's the last time anybody wanted to play along with you.
It's the last time I played. I was like, I'm not playing this anymore.
Wisconsin Green Bay. No.
Wisconsin Green Bay. I remember Dick their coach. Nope. Phoenix.
I want to say the Green Phoenix. You think they're the what?
Phoenix.
The Phoenix.
Just plain Phoenix. I just said Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Phoenix rising from the ashes.
That'll be tomorrow's See If Steve Is Right. Tune in at 3 to find out.
Eastern time. 7:06, the airtime for Kevin tonight. 5:06 in Colorado.
What is it in Hawaii?
In Hawaii? Oh, it's going to be 4:06.